The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. My name is Barbara, and my guest today, your guest today, is Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm. He's here to answer and explain issues regarding parking, parking exemptions, you know, the multi-story downtown and why the downtown area is really important, and other topics that are important to you. You know, Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm is a frequent guest here. He's a favorite guest of mine. Because he, in my opinion, tells it like it is, and he's willing to get into the weeds with you. So thank you for being here today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So everybody settle in so you can get all the updates. Stay with us. There's a lot to learn and understand. Let's take a break right now. Get to it right after this.
When it's time to hit the road, let Squeaky's Truck and Auto in Kootenai get your pickup ready for everything you have planned. Squeaky's offers custom truck accessories like WeatherTech mats, bed covers, receiver hitches, gooseneck hitches, and fifth wheel hitches. So, no matter what you plan on hauling this season, Squeaky's is the place to go. For more information, stop into Squeaky's Truck and Auto on Highway 200 in Kootenai.
Brown's Northside Machine and Gear has been your local diesel and heavy equipment expert since 1990, serving the logging, trucking, and construction industry. They carry a large inventory of truck and heavy equipment parts, and their ASE and Master ASE certified technicians specialize in repairing all types of diesel and gas trucks, pickups, off-road vehicles, RVs, and heavy equipment. Stop by the shop on Triangle Drive in Ponderay, Monday through Thursday, 7 to 5, and Fridays until 6, Brown's Northside Machine and Gear.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Gain a global perspective and specialized skills that many of today's top employers are seeking with an MBA from University of Maryland Global Campus. Study online and complete your degree in just 16 months for about $21,000. Choose from MBA specializations in global business, marketing, HR, finance, and more. Classes start May 14th. Apply now and save with no application fee. Learn more at umgc.edu. Certified to operate in Virginia by Chef.
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Parts? We got parts. Product availability? Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select brake pads for $10 more, or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Offer in-store only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
News Talk 97.1.
Welcome back in, everyone. Join me and say hello and welcome to Mayor Jeremy Grimm. Grimm, again, thank you so much for being with us.
It's great to be here on a beautiful sunny day.
Isn't it awesome? It is just perfect. I'm going to start with Sandpoint parking fees. That's on a lot of people's minds. And what people want to know is, what was the final decision on parking costs and permits for City Beach and then other city parking lots?
Oh, well, thank you. So lucky for everyone listening, there is no final cost yet, because we are going through a very deliberative transparent process on this. About 8 months ago, I asked our planning and community development director, Jason Welker, to come up with a plan for how we're going to sustain our infrastructure in town. Because if you've been to City Beach, you know there's 2 and 3 foot potholes. And if you look at the city parking lot, actually the asphalt's going down today. Prior to that, it was pretty, disheveled. So I asked Jason to come up with a plan, and he has studied our inventory of parking. We've got some great data from how much parking has been utilized during the peak July season. And then he has pulled that all together with some costs to maintain our infrastructure. And we've come up with a policy. And that policy has gone to our various citizen committees. It's gone to Planning and Zoning Commission. And tomorrow night, he will be making his first presentation to the City Council at 5:30 at 1123 Lake Street. He'll make his first presentation to the City Council on the draft policy. It'll be a fairly short presentation explaining the rationale, the background, the data, and then Council will give him some guidance. And eventually, Council will get us to a point where they will adopt a parking policy, and that will outline, what are the rules? What are the areas on street versus off street? How much parking is required for specific uses? And then probably about 8 months after that, we will be looking at vendors for frictionless parking metering.
What's friction? Oh, metering.
Metering, okay. At our city lot and down at City Beach. And then we'll be considering on-street parking as well, parking meters. And I say frictionless because one of the biggest costs when you're running a paid parking is the human resources. So we have something called community resource officers, or, they used to call them meter maids. And it's pretty expensive to hire someone to be downtown, minimum with health insurance and benefits, you're probably talking, $60,000-$65,000. So that's a huge cost. So there is technology out there today that does it frictionless. It simply sees your car, it reads your license, it knows if you have a permit, and if you stay beyond your allotted time that the permit gives you, you can either pay right there at the meter, or it will bill you, just like if you travel to an urban area and you cross a toll bridge, you'll get a bill in the mail. So
somebody coming in from Spokane and they park, they don't have a park, the meter will read and understand, they'll know who they are and what they, how do they know where to send that bill?
Right. I assume it all goes through vehicle registration. So I don't know the technology yet.
Love logistics.
But,
so
from what they explain and promote, it works very seamlessly. You would enter in if you were someone who had a parking pass that we're going to make eligible to residents and non-residents. It would know that you have a pass associated with this driver's license or this license plate.
Okay.
And it would
like a little keypad thing that you enter in, maybe.
It reads the license plate, It knows, and that would be in the database. Or if you just want to pull up and buy 4 hours of parking, you can do that too.
Awesome. So when you say residents and non-residents, you're talking about city residents and non-city residents.
Right. There's two types of people in the world, in my world. Those who pay the City of Sandpoint property taxes.
Yes, that's me.
And then those who do not.
Yes.
And although we appreciate all of our neighbors and family who live in the area and support our businesses and our community and make our community, at the end of the day, if you look at a Sandpoint residents' property tax bill, I'll use mine for example, there's an extra $2,500 per year that Sandpoint residents get to pay for the privilege of being Sandpoint residents and having elected officials who respond to them. So, this will be two
it
separate fees.
It is a privilege, fees. Mayor.
Well,
I love
we try.
Living in Sandpoint.
We try, but the big thing is that nothing's been adopted yet.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, the council will consider and hear the draft policy.
And will the costs be tomorrow night also?
We have some preliminary, Director Welker has some preliminary costs. Right now, those are probably going to be $15 per year.
Per year.
A dollar and a few pennies per month for a resident, and $30 per year for a non-resident. What that will get you is somewhere between 3 to 6 hours of parking every day. And then if you choose to stay after, there's likely to be a 2 to 3 hour charge for any time after, somewhere between 3 to 6 hours.
And I think that's totally reasonable, but we'll see what the final...
The council decides to do on those.
I think if it's not an Idaho license, it ought to go even higher. I think Washington, Oregon, and Montana ought to pay $45.
We'll leave that to the council and the attorneys if we
not
can.
Not that anybody's asking me.
No, it's a good point because, right, we are all part of community. I've heard lots of people who are my friends and family and county residents who feel as though they support Sandpoint and shouldn't have to be charged a different rate. One of them brought up the good point that they spend $3,000 a year downtown. Well, although you perceive that to be a financial benefit to the city of Sandpoint, at the end of the day, that $3,000, the city of Sandpoint will get $9 in sales tax. Yeah. So the sales tax the state charges, the 6%, goes down to Boise, gets dispersed based on a archaic formula, and we get a $3 per thousand back. So it's a very small amount of money that we as the city actually get back from sales tax being spent.
That algorithm needs to be changed. As we all know, it kind of floats around during the political season, and somehow it never, I don't know, the bureaucracy just doesn't get it changed.
Yeah, that speaks to a larger sort of perspective of cities and self-sustaining and what the state does for our residents versus what cities do for our residents. It's a continual debate down in Boise.
Okay, there's a development that's on Church and is it 4th, where it's going to be ground level, commercial, and then 3 floors of some kind of residence, small units for rent or for purchase.
I believe they're for rent.
Are they for
rent? A proposed development. They haven't taken a building permit out yet. They haven't been issued a site development permit yet.
So the issue is parking. This is what, first of all, it's the 3 floors up. They'd rather have ground and then only 2 up. That's one issue that you can address. And the other one is that there's no parking. They're all just going to be out in the street, you know, taking up my parking spot,
yes,
Mayor.
Yes, that's right. No, great discussion point. And parking is a passion of mine as a land use planner. So the first thing to have people understand is in 2009, the city created a modification of their parking requirements. And in the downtown core, we eliminated all parking requirements for either remodeling, for a change of use, or for new construction. I was the planning director at that time. The rationale behind that was because if you were here in 2009, you would have walked down the downtown and you would have seen 40% of our stores vacant. It was a really scary time in Sandpoint, and we were just desperate coming out of the Great Recession. How do we prime the pump? How do we get investment back in the downtown? Well, for change of use, I'll use either McDuff's or Cochava or the old Bellwoods, now known as the Winery and Fat Pig, maybe even the Cedar Street Bridge or even Joel's. When you change use, like Cochava or, let's say, the winery, and you go from warehouse to office or restaurant, typically cities say, oh, you have to now add 20, 30, 50 parking spaces, off-street parking spaces, because this new use is going to drive a lot more activity, and it's your responsibility as the developer to build that parking. Well, if we had kept that in place, it was a very real barrier to people reinvesting in our buildings and in our downtown. So if we had kept that in place, something like Cochava building or the winery Fat Pig would have had to construct probably, I'm going to guess, hundreds of thousands, if not $1 million worth of off-street parking. And unfortunately, when developers are forced to do that, I'll use the example of the Umpqua Bank, which was the Columbia Bank before it was Intermountain Bank way back. They had to actually satisfy our parking regulations at the time. Mm-hmm. And not only did they knock down buildings to the east where the food court is now, but they also ended up knocking down buildings on the corner of Pine and Fifth, the northwest corner of Pine and Fifth, which, if you observe, is vacant almost all the time.
Yeah.
And that was to satisfy the parking from this arbitrary book that says this is how much parking you need. So my point of saying that is we removed those barriers in 2009, and the project that you're referring to, the housing project, which could be up to 90 units, would be required to have no parking. That is the law. We can't apply the law to some people and not others. That is just the law in our downtown. Every property owner has the right to build and reinvest and modify buildings with no required parking. We leave it up to the free market, the developer, to determine how much parking is needed for their building. And this is commonplace in other towns. Even Moscow, Idaho, does not require parking downtown. And in big cities, you may rent an apartment or buy a condominium that has no parking. And if you want to buy the parking, mm-hmm. well, kick in another $200,000 to buy a parking spot. So hopefully the fact that the developer is not providing parking will actually affect those rental rates, because if they had parking, they would, one, cost a lot more to develop, but also they would probably charge more. Now, this is a great day to observe this. Right now, that city lot has been closed for 2 weeks. There are about 127 parking spots in the city lot right now. Those people have not been using those for the last 2 weeks, and those people have been parking all out throughout downtown. And we have been flying drones and taking photographs showing that even with those 127 displaced people out of the city parking lot, on every single block except for First Ave, there are approximately 4 to 8 open parking spaces. So this is really a question of perception versus reality. We know that from our parking data in July of 2022, during the peak day, during midday, we had almost 500 empty on-street parking spaces. So we have parking throughout the downtown. And these proposed units, if they do have no parking, they're going to park on our streets. But this is actually a really good thing for business and commerce and community. And I'll explain why. If you park 3 blocks away and you're walking to your destination, you may run into Barbara and be able to say, "Hey, Barbara, I haven't seen you for a while. Mm-hmm. What's new? How's your family? Did you hear what the mayor's doing?" Or you may look into a shop and say, "Oh, that's the perfect gift," or "I forgot I needed to pick that up," or whatever it may be. But it's walking along those corridors, those streets, more traffic, more foot traffic actually is really beneficial for those businesses. So not only does it help the businesses, it provides opportunities for residents to bump into each other, talk, communicate. And think of that in contrast to if you just pull up to your store, you walk in, you walk out, you got a convenient parking space, but are you going to have any of those other interactions or opportunities? So for a variety of reasons, not requiring parking downtown is very positive for our downtown, our businesses, and ultimately it helps to put people potentially living near where they work, and hopefully some of these residents don't have a car, because you can live and work and enjoy downtown without a car.
I actually agree. I mean, not to be surprised about it, but I agree if this is the means to get to what you're saying, is that to have foot traffic and people out more in the evening, because that's where they live, and so they're going to be out taking a walk, or they're going to be hoping the restaurant stays open until 9 o'clock instead of closing at 5. It increases business. It increases the charm of a community, more of a town community, rather than becoming a ghost town, you know, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon or 6 o'clock. And the only thing that's going on is the Panada. I mean, with all regards to the Panada, but I mean, that's like the only action in town. I'll give you a quick example. I'm so going to hurt somebody's feelings here. I apologize. But I was getting my car fixed, I'll just say, out in Ponderay. And so for the hour and a half or hours I'm going to wait, I thought it was a beautiful day, I'll take a walk. Honestly, it was like the worst walk because it was just all traffic up, you know, Highway 95 North. I was walking around Walmart. There are no sidewalks. It's just, honestly, people would drive past. I'm not exaggerating. People would drive past me. I felt like they were looking at me like I was
homeless.
Why
are you walking? Yeah.
Exactly. What's that homeless woman doing out there? And like they'd speed up. And I'm like, wait, or I was doing a drug deal or something, and there was a guy there doing a drug deal, by the way. But anyway, it was very weird. It was very difficult.
No,
and
no,
it was
you're
not
describing,
charming
you're
at
describing
all.
Perfectly the very stark differences between a suburban pattern of
with
development.
Massive parking lots.
Parking lots, convenient, drive in, drive out. And then our historic downtown, which is more traditional and representative of what a lot of successful places look like.
Exactly.
And I mean, we could, what's tonight? Tonight's Tuesday night. We could probably, I have an office downtown. I spend a lot of time down there. And at about 5:30, you could go bowling on almost any street downtown, except for Friday and Saturday nights.
Yes.
Pretty hopping then. But the rest of the time, after 5:30, when the workers have left, our streets are vacant. It is empty downtown, and that doesn't help businesses. It feels kind of weird when you're the only person downtown, which I observe often. So what we want to do is put heartbeats downtown with people living downtown, working downtown. What it does, there's a term in land use planning called the third place. And if you think of your home as your first place and your work as your second place, this third place is a place where you may gather with friends or meet new friends. It can be a coffee shop. It could be a bar. It could be a music venue. It could be a restaurant. This is a spot where, you know, you kind of remove some of those barriers to meeting someone. And things happen at these third places. I call it cross-pollination, but you may meet someone who has a really similar interest or different skill set, and you get talking and you find something new. There's a business called X-Craft.
It's called Connection and Community. I think we're going to take a quick break on that. We'll come back to that topic right after this.
Ritz Transmission and Performance in Bonner's Ferry, now offering new services. Transmission repair to manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ritz Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
Pro-X isn't just about building supplies and tools. You'll be surprised at what you can find in our expanded houseware section. We have Instant Pots, coffee pots, microwaves, electric skillets, pressure cookers, cooking utensils, accessories, and so much more. Stop by for you anytime or for Mom this Mother's Day. Pro-X is sure to have something for everyone. Pro-X Home Center, serving Boundary, Bonner, and Lincoln counties. Pro-X Home Center is your hometown everything store.
Are you a parent of a 2 to 8 year old? Listen closely for an exciting offer, then head to abcmouse.com/radio to learn more. By now, you've probably heard of ABC Mouse.
ABC Mouse is like a little one-on-one teacher. It has helped her so much.
We're offering a promo at abcmouse.com/radio to try it for free for a month, then $14.99 per month until canceled. Go to abcmouse.com/radio to see this offer. That's abcmouse.com/radio. Actual ABC Mouse users compensated for their testimonials, sponsored by Age of Learning.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2024 Nielsen report.
Huge news. Right now at Wendy's, you can get a Son of Baconator for just $3. I don't think you understand this situation. The Son of Baconator is only $3 for a limited time. You know, smoked bacon, rich melted cheese. That Son of Baconator is only $3. Thank you to whoever wished upon that star. For bacon that just won't quit, gotta be Wendy's.
U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii, not valid on a combo or in third-party delivery platforms.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey everybody, our guest today is Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grimm, and I'm going to give you a heads up. You know, every time the mayor is on, we don't get through all the topics, so this is going to be a double header. He is going to be back next week, so stay with us today, and then come back next week, because we are, we'll for sure get to infrastructure if we don't get to some of it today, water, wastewater, and roads. All right, I love this discussion, Mayor, about community and the heart of especially a small community. Sandpoint is still a small community, that walking, like I like to walk to the farmer's market, or I like, you can go kind of close to something and then get out and walk around and walk to City Beach. So I'm just on board with walking and the people and the dogs that you get to say hello to, whether you know them or not, you end up saying hello to each other.
Yeah, who doesn't say hi to a dog?
Exactly.
No, you know, America has a health epidemic, obesity epidemic, and a mental health epidemic. I was at a conference last week where they were talking about loneliness is a huge damaging aspect of many of our lives. Obesity, we all know we're supposed to get our 10,000 steps and walk every day to keep the diabetes away, and then just engaging and knowing your community. So, you know, we are, as a human being, we've been designed to walk.
Yes.
And you would think that parking a block or two from your destination is some horrible inconvenience. And, you know, for some people, it is a real barrier. That's why we have accessible parking spaces in proximity to the entryways. But no, walking is great. And, you know, anytime you can get out, see some new faces, interact, put people living downtown, it's all part of building a sustainable, thriving community. So I, you know, one of my goals that I don't talk about too much, but I would like to see us transition a little bit away from the tourism economy and more towards a broader, stable economy with more types of jobs. And part of that is having people live downtown, where they can live and work either professional or service jobs right down there, because then downtown will be active and you'll meet some interesting people. And
you know, I'm trying not to agree with everything you say, but if I agree, I do agree. It isn't that tourism is bad per se. Let me say what's on my head in that to give to you. It's that when they are here for 2 weeks or even a month or whatever it is, they are typically not getting their hair done. They did that in Dallas. They're not giving to the Boy Scouts. They did that where they live in Colorado. You know, they're not pinned in and tucked into the community. They're not supporting different fundraisers in that. They're just really just, who does a fundraiser if you go to, I don't know, someplace in Arizona for 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month in the winter? You're not giving to the Boy Scouts there. It's not your community.
No, tourism, I mean, I call it the primer of the pump. Tourism has a lot of benefits. For example, many of our most successful locally owned startups actually occurred because they maybe visited here as a tourist, and they said, I could move my business here. So in that regard, tourism is great. It probably supports more restaurants and amenities than we would have otherwise. But on the downside, they arrive in big influxes, which puts pressure on our fire and our EMS and our police, puts congestion on our roads and our infrastructure. But then you look at the this sector as an employment sector, the service or tourism and lodging sector, they're good jobs, but because of those boom bust cycles, you get a smoky summer or a warm winter. Many of those jobs are seasonal.
Yes.
Very few of them offer benefits and health insurance or retirement. So in general, communities that are dominated by tourism tend to see a lot of very similar features, a lot of unemployment or seasonal employment, low wages, and generally a lot of second homeowners who are there and really don't make community. So, my goal is to broaden our economic base, working with any industry that's clean and wants to come expand in Sandpoint. So
sustainable employment for residents, especially the younger residents that we want to stay with us and grow with us.
I've got two children, one in college, one in going to high school, and I hope they can come back and raise a family here as well. So
exactly. I want to change the focus because it's still kind of on some people's radar scope who talk to me, and that's the tennis and pickleball complex at Travers Park. People are still concerned, and let me ask just a couple of things, like what are the plans for more trees around the children's play area? It's just pretty ugly and barren, even though I do see kids there now. I always walk around Travers, Mayor. I like it.
Yeah, so the project's not done yet. They are wrapping up the final. There were two components. There was the Russell Center, and then there was the park project. The playground project. So the Russell Center is pretty much done. They've got some button-up items to do around the outside. The playground project, there's going to be a splash pad. They just installed the pumps last week. They'll be turning that on probably in the next 2 weeks. And then all the soil is being moved. The landscaping's being finalized. So sometime in the next, 3 weeks, that will be 3 to 4 weeks, that'll all be buttoned up. We'll do our final walkthrough, and that
like landscaping.
Landscaping, yeah. There, I forget the number
are
of trees.
Are the trees going to be bigger than small?
I believe they're 1.5 inch caliper, most of them. So that's 1.5 inch at your chest.
How tall
that is. I imagine 14 feet or so.
We were promised pretty tall trees.
Yeah, I don't have those details, but I know the project's
make
not complete.
Note.
They will. I will make a note for next week. that project is moving forward, about to get wrapped up, and that's going to be really our last big project. You know,
What about the family pavilion there, though? That was. Is there?
Yes.
Yeah, because every time from fall on a chilly day to spring, it could even be a little rainy. There would be families there having a picnic or a birthday party. Mayor, they'd be singing.
I've been there.
And have pizza and. I love the birthday parties, and now I haven't seen one for 2 years.
So the pavilion was removed because it had a lot of rot. It actually wasn't in great shape. It wasn't going to last much longer. Thanks to the generous friends and partners of the Sandpoint Rotary Club, they have made a commitment to help fund a replacement. We'll be pouring, as part of the end of this project, a new concrete pad there. And going
near like the children's play area?
Yeah, it's actually a little ahead of that, closer to Pine Street. So it's going to be the sort of predominant feature.
Away from that big building.
Yes, A big grill. It'll have grill, covered benches, picnic tables. Yeah, the big building, the Russell Center. You know, as I said at the dedication, the city's never run a facility like this. And I'm not going to pretend to say that government does everything well or perfectly. I think on our best days, we're doing well with the fire, the police, the water, the sewer, and the law, the code, the land use, and the permitting. But it's challenging to run a facility like that. You know, you have your user groups. You got to figure out the per user fee. What's going to break even? What are your costs? Now, we didn't know the cost and the operational cost and staffing cost going into it. So at the ribbon cutting, I was very clear and I said, give us some time, be patient. We're going to have some trial and error. We're going to have to check in after a few months to see how this is running. What we found is that there's not enough user demand at the rates that were being charged for membership to cover the cost. And the facility has been running in a deficit. So what Director Welker is working on, and he'll be presenting to the City Council at the end of May, is a new plan, which is going to kind of pivot the city more towards facility management and a little bit away from recreation. And this is really important because I know it affects a lot of people. The city manages War Memorial Field, Barlow Stadium, manages Travers and all the other fields, Community Hall, and we're thinking that managing the Russell Center as a facility, rather than doing the programming for the tennis instructors and the pickleball tournaments and the related activities, is probably the best way to make sure that breaks even.
So rent. You're going to rent yeah. it like to the school district
right,
for
exactly.
their tennis team, or rent to...
Exactly. The pickleball group. As part of that, we are looking at changing, converting some of the floor area to a more universal floor that could have volleyball and basketball. There's a high demand for volleyball space. Right now they're playing in the county fairground buildings.
And walking, what about walking in the winter months is what I'm
that's,
thinking.
That's available right
available.
Now.
Yep. How do you, is that, do you have to buy a membership to go in and walk?
No, that's free.
That's
just
free.
Go
you
in
just
and
go in.
Do a loop
start
around
walking.
The outside.
Outside?
Yes. At the outside of the tennis courts.
Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
It's inside, but
yes, yes,
on the exterior of the
Just to be
player.
Clear to the audience. Okay.
But, you know, that facility is amazing. I've only played pickleball once there with my daughter. I paid $16 to pay for 2 hours, which was a lot for my family.
That's a lot
and
for anybody.
The worst thing, though, is we were the only ones there.
Yeah.
So it was 6 to 8 o'clock at night, and we were alone in this big, beautiful building. So I want to see that building active and utilized. And at the end of the day, it needs to at least do its best to cover its cost.
We're up against a break, but I want to get this in. I'm a little bit concerned, or I'm a lot concerned, that I wanted the Russell Bill. We were told it would be self-sustaining, and it is not. And so has the decision been made that you're going to move Parks and Recreation staff over there, and that's going to mean that my tax money is going to go over there and pay for their housing and their share of the insurance and their share of maintenance and stuff, and that's going to, you know, so we are going to end up spending tax money to maintain this gift to the community.
Yeah, I can answer. Do we have
time
to answer
like
now?
No,
or do you want
hold
to break?
On to that. That'll give everybody
that
a reason to come back and hear.
The question that's center in my mind.
All right, excellent. All right, we're going to take that break. We'll be right back.
You gotta do is put a drink.
Eric Church is back and bringing his unforgettable live show to Spokane.
And it's a back of black shimmy all night long. You
Eric Church Free the Machine Tour. With special guest Charles Wesley Godwin. Spokane Arena, Saturday, October 25th. Get tickets Friday, May 9th at 10 a.m. at ticketswest.com. His new album, Evangeline vs. the Machine, is out now. One epic night of music that you won't want to miss. Eric Church, Free the Machine Tour. Live at Spokane Arena, Saturday, October 25th. Get tickets Friday, May 9th. For more, visit ericchurch.com. Produced by Messina Touring Group.
This is Chad Young with the Easy Home Buyer. You know, selling a home is never just about the house. It's about the situation you're in. Maybe you're going through a tough transition, family stuff, job change, or just feeling overwhelmed by repairs that never seem to end. That's why I do what I do. I help people move forward. We buy houses as is with no fees, no commissions, and no headaches. Just a fair cash offer and a closing that works for you. You don't have to clean, fix anything, or even clear out the junk. We handle it all. So whatever's on your plate, let me take this one off of it. Call me at 208-717-2000. The easiest part of your week? Making this phone call and finally getting your house sold. No endless showings, no expensive fixes, and no waiting around. I'm here to help, not hassle. That's 208-717-2000.
Pick up the phone to inquire. Call the Easy Home Buyer.
On the battlefield, there's a saying America's military men and women live by. Never leave a fallen warrior behind, ever. Off the battlefield, Wounded Warrior Project operates with the same goal. Wounded Warrior Project was created to help our men and women returning home with the scars of war, whether those scars are physical or mental. Wounded Warrior Project. We never leave a fallen warrior behind. Ever. Learn more about what we do at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
You need parts? We got parts. Product availability? Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. Get one free set of brake pads when you buy two brake rotors. Upgrade to Brake Best Select brake pads for $10 more, or upgrade to Brake Best Select Pro or Import Direct pads for just $20. Offer in-store only. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. News Talk 97.1.
All right, everyone, welcome back in. We've got it going on today with Mayor Jeremy Grimm. And just another heads up, he will be back next week because we don't get to everything. So this is going to be a two-part thing. I welcome you back next week for more conversation with Mayor Grimm. All right, we were talking about the Russell Building, a gift to the community, and now it turns out my tax dollars are going to go over there and help support it, and I'm just a little bit in disagreement with that.
Yeah, so that's as I was saying, center in my mind. So I'll use the analogy. When I was in my early 20s, somebody offered to give me a fancy BMW used, and I was like, wow, this is great. And then I looked at how much an oil change cost and how much it costs to do work on a BMW and things like that, and I realized, wow, I can't afford that. Generous gift. This facility, you know, we never had a clear operational plan or funding plan for the once it was actually constructed. So as a result, we're having to kind of learn on the fly here. We've got a very qualified person trying to look at these numbers, Director Welker. When we look at the numbers, the reality is it is not going to generate enough revenue to support itself by tennis and pickleball users. So
that's because pickleball users go south in the winter.
I don't know why.
Some of them.
I wouldn't look into why that is, but I just... I assume it's projections of the numbers, you know, that we heard numbers of 300-400 people in these communities who would want to come pay a modest monthly membership to play, and the numbers just haven't turned out. So what we've done, we had two employees who resigned in the last month. They were both attributed to that facility. One was the facility manager, and the other was our recreation supervisor. So in the short term, we've plugged some pretty serious cost, probably upwards of $100,000 a year for having that. And we've moved our existing staff down there. So the Sandpoint Parks and Rec Department is now operating out of that building, which is great because we had the staff, they're doing their same job, and now they're doing double duty. They're, you know, doing their regular parks and rec stuff as well as greeting people and selling memberships.
In the building.
Right. So the real challenge here is we do get about $200,000 of property tax a year that goes into our recreation fund. And all of our funds are separate and have different funding mechanisms. But
and all of that budget information is on the city's website,
it is.
Right?
Just go to City of Sandpoint Finance. You can see every dollar that goes through the city, every transaction, actually. So we are going to look at, as I was mentioning, consider reducing how much money we spend in the city on recreation. When our recreation programming was started in the early 80s or late 70s, we were the only group that was out there. The city was the only one doing soccer and baseball and football and basketball and chess tournaments and contra dances and volleyball and tennis. So if you look at the situation today, we have wonderful nonprofits and organizations that do all that. Sandpoint Strikers, Sasquatch, we've got, you know, the Sailing Association, we've got football associations. So we're really just kind of a middleman, basically organizing the leagues, collecting the money, and then, you know, renting the fields. So we're going to be taking a hard look at how our Parks and Recreation Department actually is structured, what the cost of offering some of these things are, and if it makes more sense. Like the city of Haley, Idaho, they only manage facilities.
Yes.
So, you know, the school district would rent a portion of a field, or the softball group would rent it, or the tennis group, or basketball, or volleyball. And we feel that some combination of having more user groups in the facility, converting the space to multi-use space. Right now, the floor is very grippy for tennis and pickleball. We would have to convert one of the courts to something suitable for volleyball or basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And you just know, try to get more user groups in there.
For our audience to think about, correct me if I'm wrong, but I was just thinking of Memorial Field. I mean, you don't organize the football. That's all the school. You maintain and then you rent mm-hmm. Memorial Field, whether it's the festival, they do their own thing, the school district for the football games or any other venue that wants to go in. So you're the manager of the park and the facilitator of the facility, but you are not running the programs. You're not signing up the little leagues or anything.
Right. For that facility.
That's
yes,
for right, them. Yeah. If they want to use it, then they come to the city, they right. fill out the paperwork and they pay the money. And again, I agree with that. This is getting spooky. You know?
We're trying to make it as efficient as possible. Appreciate
and things change. Times change.
And it's a learning curve. We appreciate the public's patience as we work through this. We recognize the value. It was an incredible gift. We just need to right-size the staffing levels and the user time in there to make sure.
Well, hindsight is everything. I mean, clearly, I don't know what amount of money needed to be set aside as an investment fund.
Yeah, an endowment.
That would be an endowment right. for your operations.
Yeah. Well, we're learning just the power alone and heat is, you know, thousands of dollars a month. I mean, they're all things that ideally we would have had put in place before we opened the place up and broke ground.
Well, you know, how to say this? I like to hear the recognition that mistakes are made, mm-hmm. and some future planning is not all that future. You know, it's just there was a lot of excitement about that money, and there was a lot of speed. Once people didn't want the trees to come down, somebody said, "Let's move." And move they did, exactly. Listen, I wanted to get to housing. This is just a little tease for our audience. We'll get to it next week. But one of the things that I think people need to understand, there really is a surplus of condos and rental units, pretty nice ones and new ones in Sandpoint, right?
Yeah, we've seen the private sector respond to the imbalance in the market and the pricing. So we've seen a lot of units come on. There's some new ones that are going to be built. Yes, prices are coming down. There are vacancies. So this is very positive for those who are commuting into town yeah. or those who want to relocate a business here and have housing for their employees. So I think we're on the right track.
And the prices are coming down because I've seen some units that, I mean, just from a few that I know of where I just can't believe what they were asking for rental. And I'm like,
It's pretty out of balance.
Yeah. So that's coming down because it's just that's the way the market works. It's capitalism at its best.
Markets work. The best solution to high prices is high prices because right. it attracts investment and a solution.
Stand back, mayor, and watch it happen, that's right? right? Don't that's get right. the city money involved
well,
in
we
it.
Certainly don't need to be running a housing agency. And that's one thing I'll never do is get Sandpoint involved.
That was recommended for a while.
The previous administration was looking
housing.
At that. But
no. That's because there was federal money. Of course, there's no federal money.
There's
now.
No federal money, which we can talk about next week.
We will talk about that next week. All right. Listen, everybody, he's going to be back next week. Right now, we need to say goodbye to the mayor and thank you again for being here with us. So until next week, you know, this is Barbara saying, please take care of yourselves and each other. And for heaven's sake, slow down out there on the roads and on the water and love each other. You know, I do want to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that if you missed any part of this show, You can always go to our website, you know, like later today or certainly by tomorrow, and you can get a recording of this program. If there are certain details that you missed, or you were parking your car there in the Super One lot or at City Beach, you can come back now and listen to the full recording. In fact, you can listen to all of the recordings of my program and our local hour here during the noon hour at Blue Sky Broadcasting. It's a good thing. It's a lot of fun. And you can go back and check your facts. All right, everybody. May I end now again with my, may God richly bless you, my friends.